to the Teach Happier podcast. I'm Suzanne Daly, your delighted host. Let's get into the healthiest headspace and heart space for our upcoming week working in schools, whatever our important role may be. Last week, we were inspired to put ourselves in the shoes, or cleats, of a college football player in the fourth and final quarter of the game. They understand that the fourth quarter is when games are won and legends are made. So we were invited to think about our fourth and final quarter of this school year and envision how it can be won. This week, no metaphors, no, just data. And that data comes from the 2024 World Happiness Report. I mean, if an annual report comes out on world happiness, well, it deserves a place here in the Teach Happier community. So the World Happiness Report, just for some background, it provides a comprehensive analysis of happiness trends across different ages and generations in more than 140 countries. This global report relies on data collected by the Gallup World Poll. They survey people in about 150-ish countries and assess their subjective well-being. And they gather data from at least 1,000 people per country. Then they summarize the info and they share it in that report every March. So if reading the whole report is going to jazz you up in the same way it did for me, I'm going to link it in the show notes. But this week's episode will share some, just some, of the key takeaways from the World Happiness Report. Here are four takeaways. Number one, happier countries tend to be richer countries. But more important for happiness than income are social factors like strength of social support, the absence of corruption, and the degree of personal freedom. Takeaway number two, unemployment causes as much unhappiness as bereavement or separation. At work, job security and good relationships do more for job satisfaction than high pay and convenient hours. Takeaway number three, this will surprise no one. Happiness is generally lowest in middle age. Remember, we've talked about this before, that U curve of happiness. And the fourth and final takeaway I'd like to share in this brief overview is to celebrate the top three happiest countries. This will also not shock you. It's Finland, Denmark, and Iceland. Although this little podcast has listeners in 68 countries at the time of this recording, most listeners are tuning in from the United States. Welp, wanna be bummed out by a happiness report? Get this. In the 2024 World Happiness Report, the United States has experienced a notable shift in its happiness ranking. For the first time in the report's 12-year history, the U.S. has dropped out of the top 20 happiest countries. The U.S. now ranks at number 23 compared to number 15 where it was last year. So why do we get bumped 8 spots? The decline in happiness is partly attributed to rising unhappiness among the nation's young people. Young people, the people we teach, the people we parent, the people who are literally the future, are feeling unhappy. It's almost like that U curve of happiness dips lower earlier in life. So what does that mean for us, the adults? Well, in this Teach Happier space, I like to say things like, If we love our students, we have to take care of their teacher. We go one step further. If we love our children, we have to take care of their parents. In other words, if we want our kids to feel happier, which we know means a greater sense of belonging, feeling connected, anchored, and steady, well, we've got to model it for them. Kids don't do as we say. They do as they see. All of this data really got me thinking, and I've tried to internalize it so that I can envision what's my next right thing. What is my small shift in action that can help me harness my agency in my little corner of the world? I'm going to share that with you in hopes that it will invite you to do the same. So I went back to that first key understanding, the one that talks about happier countries tend to be richer countries. But here's the part that got me. It said, but more important for happiness than income are social factors. And they specifically mentioned the strength of social support. Strength of social support. All right, so the more I dig into this report and its findings, the more rabbit holes I was swirling myself down. It got me reading reflections on the World Happiness Report and listening to podcasts that were talking about it. And this whole notion of strength of social support just kept resurfacing. Strength of social support and social media. All right, let's just talk about it for a second. There is so much to say about social media. Good, bad, ugly. There's disadvantages, there's advantages, there's wonderful aspects, there's damaging aspects. We're not going to get in the weeds over these little nuances. I want to highlight some data related to social media and time. If you had to guess the average time typical teenagers spend on social media every day, what would you guess? I'm not talking about time on the internet or just time on a device in general, but specifically time on social media. What do you think? Average per day. It's 4.5 hours. 4.5 hours a day. That is 31 hours a week. An entire day over the course of a week gone, just like that, on social media. OMG. Why am I OMGing? Well, if the World Happiness Report tells us and highlights the importance of social supports, 31 hours a week of, quote, connecting with others via social media could provide our youth a feeling of false sense of connection and take them away from the real life connections that we know all the research says we need to feel good. So my small shift in action, my next right thing that's going to help me harness my agency, was inspired by the April 8th podcast of The Happiness Lab with Dr. Lori Santos. She interviewed Jan Emanuel Deneve, who is the director of Oxford University's Wellbeing Research Center. And he said something we will love because it's the tiniest shift in one letter that sums up what we should be prioritizing when we're talking about strengthening social support. He said, if we want to move from ill-being to well-being, all we need to do is change the I to we. From ill-being to well-being. Do you see what he did there? Change the I to we. What does that mean for me? Decrease the time behind a screen and increase the time across tables, beside others, around a room with people, together, strengthening our social supports. We may not be able to do much about moving an entire country back up on the happiness scale, but we know we have the agency to make a few small shifts in our thoughts, language, and actions to help our own. And I love to think about how our students or our own children could feel empowered as they watch us and are inspired to do the same. Remember, kids don't do as we say, they do as they see. Small shifts bring the biggest gifts. We'll see you next week to kick off the final month of season 4. Thanks for listening to this week's Teach Happier episode. If you'd like to connect further, hop on over to suzannedaly.com or catch me on Instagram, Facebook, or Twitter.